If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is, that you are, that we are, that is all that exists. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, to whom or what are we responsible? To do or not to do, that is the question. I receive so many emails from people asking, what am I here to do? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And to a question like that, what can you do but shrug your shoulders and say, suit yourself. Because you know what? That's what you're here to do, is suit yourself. This is your life. It doesn't belong to anyone else's agenda, anyone else's list of shoulds, anyone else's expectations, not even your own. It belongs to you as an immortal extension of divinity, an immortal extension of divine love, wisdom, creative intelligence. That's what you are. That's who you are. You can never stop being that. But it comes through that particular chrysalis of unique individuality that's based on all of your immersions in the sea of samsara, the great sea of consciousness, where in highest truth you're everything and everyone and every event you've experienced. And there's nowhere in the vastness of the all that is that you're not. So that's the big picture. Now, when we particularize it down into this, what should we say, this character marching around in time-space, thinking it's a separate identity with a name and a specific form and a specific series of memories that it has identified itself with to form this personhood that actually has never been. But let's say it's a cute character on the stage of life, portraying separate individuality, separate existence, and like an Easter egg that is pure white until you dip it into a vat of oil colors. It takes on the coloration of its many immersions in time-space. So in that sense, we're all like that egg, pure white egg, as soul that gets dipped into the vat of multicolored experiences. And as the consciousness identifies with those experiences, it forms the illusion of selfhood. But let's call it a very functional and useful illusion, and so we don't want to disperse it into nothingness. We want to expand it into everythingness. And to do that, we have to keep growing and experiencing and learning and moving on to what's next for us. So to whom or what are we responsible? Let's say response able. And to do or not to do? That is the question. What are you here to do? You alone can answer that question. Why? Well, if you want to go along with the storyline of how we extended into time-space, we came with, let's say, a contract, a spiritual contract, if you will, that was set in place with the divine counselors before we took embodiment as to what we specifically wished to accomplish when we got into this embodiment. And so in that, there was a very definite, let's say, divine plan, life plan for this particular embodiment. Certain things that you came in to fulfill and to complete. And so this is what we want to look at this evening. And so to begin our discussion, let's take a deep breath together and just feel yourself integrating and aligning with your physical personality. See that divine wisdom, that divine awareness, that divine perfect beingness that you are forever. Come and meld and integrate with your physical body, with your conscious awareness, and with the lower mind that's trying to make sense of this world, and with that higher part of the mind that is designed to be as a window for the soul to peer down through your human embodiment and use your human embodiment as a vehicle for its full manifestation. And I say full manifestation because in highest truth, that's what our destiny is, to be able to manifest the fullness of our whole being, not only in this tiny little orb that we call Earth, but as we expand the awareness and our ability to respond in love and service throughout the greater cosmos. Because we go forth as that divine presence manifesting in this and a myriad of worlds. So, give yourself permission, if you wish, to have a greater understanding of where you stand and how to express your life, your unique life form, in ways that are appropriate, that work for you, that are in alignment with why you have come. You probably don't know initially why you have embodied. But if you track yourself back to your early childhood, usually there's a sense of what you've come to do. It pushes, kind of in an uncomfortable way. It's like you just know that you've got something you've come to do. And that's what you need to trace back. Before you became conditioned, before you became invested in a person that people have supported you in thinking that you were, projecting upon you an identity that you may or may not have assimilated as your sense of self. But in those moments when you're quiet, and not distracted by television or other media, you can ask yourself, what is my life about? In fact, you can journal, those of you that like to do that. What has my life been about? What is my life about today? What am I involved with? What am I involved with that I no longer feel fits, that I wish I could get uninvolved with? And you'll feel these different nuances of consciousness, perhaps in different areas. Maybe they're mental, maybe they're emotional, maybe they're very physical, maybe you're in a work or occupation that really goes against your nature. And you know what? You have every right and responsibility to move yourself, whether it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or all of the above, into a place in which you are in harmony with your inner being. Sometimes we have to be very clever to create that niche for ourselves, because many times it does not exist yet in the outer world. But whatever it takes for you to be you and to be comfortable in your own skin and at one with your own sense of being, your own integrity, it's your responsibility to do that. So most, if not all, of our difficulties in life come about for three reasons. One, we are negligent or remiss in fulfilling our responsibilities, those things that we have said we would do, those things to which we have pledged our word. And sometimes, you know, that shifts for us. As we grow, we outgrow things. We outgrow arenas of expression. We outgrow groups. We outgrow people. That's very unpleasant. But you know what? If you're really progressing spiritually, you're going to leave a lot of people behind who haven't made that commitment to really go for it in this lifetime. And I would say that's probably the great majority. And so sometimes you find yourself standing quite alone. Not really alone, but outwardly. There aren't a whole lot of people who have, let's say, the divine purpose of awakening fully in this embodiment. So that the outer world becomes transformed and you no longer see it with the body's eyes, but the single eye of the divine witness. So we are often negligent or remiss in fulfilling our responsibilities. Number two, we overextend ourselves in too many areas, and then we feel pressured and burdened by our incompletions. You know, when you have a, for example, I think everybody can relate to this. You have a cluttered house. You have a cluttered desk. Every place you turn and look, there's something that needs to be attended to. And subliminally, that creates a great dissonance and sense of burden within yourself. You know, every time you see that stack of mail, it's all, or the emails, you know. Sometimes I have hundreds of emails and there's just no way in the world that I can deal with them all in a reasonable amount of time. And so now we're allowing the media to create that sense of incompletion for us. But there's no use, because the next day there'll be another 100 or so emails or more. And so at some point, we begin to eliminate those things that create pressure unnecessarily, because some things are within our ability to complete, and other things are simply piling up in constant piles of things that we feel we should, watch the word should, attend to. So maybe you want to look at those things that you have hanging out there in your to-do lists and begin renegotiating, or that would be like communicating with people maybe you've made a commitment to, or maybe who are expecting you to answer all of your emails, or, you know, maintain correspondence or connection in some way. At some point, you just can't handle all of that and really fulfill what you've come here to do. But pay attention to that. You can, at any point of your own divine prerogative, pronounce completion. For example, when you put a book down, you can say, it's complete. I may or may not ever pick it up again. Some of us have books in every room in the house, and we have read parts of all of them. But the attitude has to be, when you put it down, it's complete. Today is complete. Everything today is complete. So that you can be born fresh each new day without the burden of those things that carry over from day to day. Why? Because if you would leave your body with those incompletions, you would force yourself to re-embody back to fulfill them. That's why it's so extremely important to complete each day. Sufficient unto the day are the actions thereof, so that everything is put to sleep at night when you go to bed, and you're in a clear state of consciousness, available for spirit to then go forth and minister on other dimensions and planes and worlds, which is what we do the minute we go to sleep. And I'm talking to light workers here. I'm not talking to people who are not aware of these things. I'm talking to those of you who have prioritized full awakening and the manifestation of your divinity in service to this planet. We're the ground crew. We're here on Earth assignment. And we're here because we have things that we have contracted and agreed to fulfill and complete. Not all necessarily personal, but we have to start with ourselves first before we can actually make a greater giving of the self that has no involvement with the personal. And number three, we tend to become embroiled in situations that are none of our business. We will make someone else's lesson, someone else's area of concern, someone else's dharma to fulfill, and we'll get embroiled in it and unnecessarily entangled. When we do that, we create a bond of karma, which is really just an action-interaction process. But we create a false interaction there by getting involved in situations that drain our ability to be focused and proactive in the area that we are meant to handle. So it takes great discernment to know what is yours to be involved with and what is that for another soul to learn from. For example, sometimes we'll rush in to help somebody. Usually they haven't asked for that help, but we think we are, you know, being the great crusader and the great helper by getting involved in their situation. But sometimes it's taken lifetimes to get them to that particular point where, say, for example, they're totally bottomed out. They've lost everything. They're destitute. They're desperate. And we might rush in there and throw money at them, or rush in and try to take over their problem and solve it for them, and thus deprive them of the very last thing they had to undergo, in many cases, to be free. And none of us wants to do that. But almost everyone I'm speaking to each week is so consecrated to serving humanity that we sometimes lack in foresight and wisdom. Because every soul that comes in has a particular area of difficulty that is their spiritual path. They have to go through that and master it and come out the other side. But it doesn't look like it sometimes when you look from the outer, because we can't see the bigger picture. And so we really don't know what's going on. Now, that's not to say that you ignore people. If you can help, if they ask for help, that's number one. If they really ask for help and you're in a position where you can help to some extent, maybe it's not much, but maybe in some way you can brighten their day, then do that. But always be aware that that soul has the responsibility and has chosen their particular life circumstances for a very good reason, spiritually. So don't deprive them of that opportunity to gain the self-esteem and the thrill of overcoming something that's been very difficult. We do that sometimes with our children, don't we? It's hard to let go and realize that that young adult between 18 and 20 needs to know how to fly on their own. In fact, you know, the whole purpose that we are to serve, the whole responsibility we have with our children, is to get them to that point where they don't need us, to that point where they can fly on their own, to that point when they are self-sustaining, where they can carry their own weight, stand on their own feet, be their own person, and confidently go forth and deal with life and whatever life brings. Because ideally, we have given them a good foundation when they were very young. And maybe we didn't. But if we didn't, that was all part of their life plan, too. Every single thing that we have experienced is because that is what we set up before we were born. There's no victimhood here at all. So we get involved in many doings that actually mess things up. To act responsibly is tremendously challenging, because we really have to look at what is the highest good that we can fulfill in any given moment. And sometimes the highest good is simply to hold within yourself the knowing and the confidence that that person is going to get through whatever it is that they're going through. Sometimes it's just holding that steady light. You know, just knowing, hey, you know, you're an incarnation of immortal divine power and wisdom and love. No problem, you'll get through this. No, essentially, we're all incarnations of the one Supreme Atman. So it's God doing God's play of being a separate person. And God can't lose God. And nothing down here is real anyway. It's all a play of consciousness wherein we can practice active divinity, wherein we can develop self-mastery, and wherein we can overcome all of the illusions, because every form of difficulty is simply a misperception. We create all the drama because we get attached to that situation and its outcome. We have an idea of how it has to be, and it comes out a whole different way. And we set ourselves up for frustration and disappointment. But everything is the way it is because that's the way it is. And it's that way for a very good reason. So, your life, my life, our life individually, is all about discovering who is that witness behind my eyes that is seeing. Who or what is listening right now to these words? Who or what is giving the impetus to move and do this or that? And why and for what purpose? If you go through everything in your life to which you've made a commitment, and you revisit it with the questions, what is this for? What is the purpose that this is serving? And to whom and for what? Does it add quality to life? Does it add and enhance spirituality? Is it nurturing the spirit in myself and that of others? And if not, why in the world would we be involved with it? So now we're getting into an issue of right livelihood, aren't we? We have to be very aware that what we're involved with is not aiding and abetting the downfall of anyone in any way whatsoever, but is actually promoting the welfare of all beings. So we have a responsibility to look at the ramification of the effects of our associations and our involvements and what we're investing our life force into. So first and foremost, our responsibility is to be true to ourself. You know, initially you're not going to know what the self is. So you're probably going to be true to your ego. But you all have to start somewhere, and you have to start where you are within the arena that you have placed yourself in through prior choice. And you have to be very present with your present state of reality. And until you expand that sense of reality or you transcend it to a higher level, you sort of have to deal with what is as best you can, but with the higher love and patience and tolerance that eventually you can cultivate within dealing with these situations, which when you're dealing with them in the third dimensional consciousness, out of the personal self that thinks it's a body with a name, with a personality, when you're working in that dimension, you're not going to be happy. And you're going to have all of the conflicts and confusions and questions and doubts and all of the stuff that goes with trying to make a fictitious self real. And trying to find what you're seeking in the outer world. And trying to make things that are ego-generated work and succeed. And of course, the truth of the material world is that it's changing, it's fickle, and it's like a turbulent ocean that's never still, as the storms of life keep washing over your human life. But at some point, usually you get to the place where you've pretty much outworn the experiences of the world. You've come to the point when you're disillusioned, disheartened, disappointed, fed up, and for the first time you open to a world that's totally beyond the world that you have been accustomed to living in. This produces a great crisis of consciousness. Most of you listening, that I know are regular listeners, have been through this. And perhaps you still have a foot in this world and a foot in the new world. You're learning how to, well, you know, it's kind of like reading a book and watching television at the same time. At some point, one or the other gains your full attention. And it's as simple as that. At some point, the world here becomes less your focus than that world which is now beginning to filter like sunlight into your awareness. And like the dawning of the sun, suddenly it gets brighter and brighter and clearer and clearer. In fact, I think clarity is one of the first and absolutely most predominant experience that one has when you begin to awaken. Suddenly there's a great clarity and simplicity that's present in your awareness. The doubts and the questions are no longer there. But there's a certitude that many of us can't even account for that arises when you have made contact with the core of your innermost purpose and being. There's an inner core of stillness and certainty and empowerment that simply quiets all of the levels of agitation. How do you get to it? Well, believe it or not, it's as simple as taking the deepest breath, and with an intention, you drop like a stone beneath the waves of your mind into the center core of your being. And when you reach that place, everything goes still, and you simply stay present. And maybe it lasts for a second or two, or maybe you go to such a deep place that it's almost as if you vanish from the dream of time-space. You have what we could call missing time, because the place we're talking to is not time-bound. And it's not location-defined. Another way you can approach it is to start with expressing your appreciation and gratitude. This is good to do when you're feeling really depressed and bummed out. It's to start priming the pump of your higher self, so to speak, by expressing your gratitude for the gift of life, for the gift of whatever you can think of that you could possibly be grateful for in that moment. Then start expanding it, and as you do, you'll find that you begin to transcend the body. Your vibration begins to elevate to a much higher state, and suddenly you find that you are in a state of spacious, well, I could say spacious awareness, but actually it's spacious bliss. not in a euphoric sense, but in a sense that you're just whole and everywhere present. So those are two ways that you can transcend the limited sense of self that periodically visits the mind when it's still identified with the false self, with the transitory appearances in time and space. We learn eventually to learn to live in an awareness that is unshakable, because we keep moving above the event horizon to gratitude and expansion, or dropping beneath the agitation on the surface, deep within the core of your being. And of course, you know, if you have a mantra, if you've been initiated into a mantra, or if you've chosen a mantra, that is a good way to keep the mind distracted, repeating the mantra, while you as soul either bypass the mind and the emotions and the depth of your being, or arise above it and keep expanding. But you'll find that when you are in the expression of gratitude, the ego is completely undone in that process. If we could live in a state of ongoing gratitude, the ego would not have any toehold in your mind whatsoever. Gratitude and ego cannot coexist in the same place. That is probably the simplest key that could ever be given in shifting your awareness. Of course, when you're bummed out and depressed and angry and upset, the last thing you feel like doing is expressing your gratitude. But I tell you out of my direct experience, if you do it anyway, maybe through clenched teeth, it doesn't matter. But if you begin to speak out of your mouth words of gratitude to the universe, to God, to the cosmos, to whomever, whatever you want to call that which is greater than yourself, or as great as the self that you truly are, you will find that it immediately shifts you into a transcendental state. And you will notice, if you are aware, that every time you transcend the physical body, every time, you go into timeless, spacious bliss. Case in point, you can, let's say, sit down to meditate, survive the first 5 or 10 minutes when your mind is going all over like a monkey, keep chanting and bringing yourself back to the mantra. At some point, usually no longer than 15 minutes, your mind will settle, kind of like a stone settling slowly to the depths of the ocean. Your mind will settle. And suddenly, you don't feel a body anymore. If you had pain, there is no pain. If you were upset, there is no upset. Whatever state you were in when you sat down to meditate, you don't remember, and you're not aware that you're meditating anymore. You're simply transcendental to this world. And you're in timelessness. You're in your being, your essential being. And you don't remember the body or the world or the upset. And that is the truest vacation you will ever experience. Because most of us are trying to get away from our mind when we go on a vacation. We're trying to distract ourselves from our familiar doldrums, our familiar arena which keeps playing back to us the things that we're discontented with. But what we really want to transcend is our mind, is our familiar mental patterns. And those are two ways to do it. Usually we chant the HU or the NIHU during our seminars. And that is the most perfect mantra. Because at the time you're chanting the HU and the NIHU, both being extremely transcendental in their vibratory frequencies, it carries the mind up like it's tethered to a hot air balloon. You can use that if you like. Put all your worries and all of your troubles in that basket and send it up in a hot air balloon. And let it go. Release it. These are ways you can work with your own consciousness to transcend the things of the world, which are all illusory, and move into the truth of your reality. For you are the very abode of love and joy and peace and spacious awareness. An unlimited being. You are the abode of that. And anything less than that is something your mind has invented and have developed the bad habit of associating as yourself. So, our first responsibility is to ourselves. It's to make our life work for us so that we stay in balance and harmony and a sense of well-being on each level. And you can do that if you prioritize that and being true and connected to that. So your responsibility is to be mindful of what you need to do to stay connected to that part of yourself. Whether you use a technique like mindfulness or meditation or a study like A Course in Miracles or non-dualism, Advaita, Vedanta, or some particular spiritual practice. I highly recommend the practice that I use because that's what I've used, which is the Sirat Shabd Yoga, which is the yoga of the sound current, where you connect inwardly with the inner sound, the inner word of God, and visually with the inner light of God. And in that focus on the sound current and looking for the light and listening to the sound, you transcend again the body and the world, and you go into timeless bliss. And you come back, you know, sometimes several hours later, and wow, you've had a true vacation. But your responsibility is to find something that allows you to stay connected to that part of you that lives in the world but is not in bondage to the world. Our children, it's very possible for you to train yourself to see them as souls that are here just like you, to learn and to become responsible for themselves and to stay connected to their divine source. They're using mindfulness and meditation and deep breathing to teach children how to connect very simply through the breath. Little children now in grade school are being taught how to manage their emotions, their anger, their upsets through mindfulness training. through brief meditations, through focusing on their breath. And so these are the things that we need to incorporate as the foundation for each day before we launch forth, that we have a pattern of bringing ourselves forward into alignment and going forth with purpose for that day, and being very careful that what we give assent to, agreement to, commitment to, that it is something that we find aligns with each level of our being. If you don't find an alignment physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually with a person, place, or thing, it's simply not clear for you to be involved. So pay attention to where it doesn't feel clear. You know, it'll be that little glitch, that little red flag, that little sense of, well, that sounds good, but, or you have that, but you better re-look at it, because it may not be for you. It may have all the bells and whistles for somebody else or a time in your life before, but it may not fit the person that you are today, and you have to let go of those things that we have outgrown. You know, hopefully you'll outgrown every belief system, every concept, every self-definition, every single thing that you've been loyal to that's outside of yourself. Hopefully you will outgrow so that you are totally your own divine incarnation without training wheels. All religions are like fences that you put around the sapling of the self to keep out the goats that would eat the sapling. But once the sapling has taken root and is a strong tree, it doesn't need the fence anymore, and the goats can happily graze around the tree and even be tethered to the tree. Like that, all religions, all belief systems, all concepts are like training wheels for your vehicle of being. But you take them off at some point, and you learn to stand and work and walk and live in the light of your own direct revelation and knowing. And then you are committed to one thing, and that is the divine spirit that has now fully inhabited you and uses you as a vehicle of miraculous manifestations and wondrous divine creations. And those reside in a level beyond this world and cannot be touched by anything in this world. And you no longer need the outer props that bolster you up in your self-confidence or your sense of being. You are true to yourself with a capital S, and the God you serve resides in you and expresses through you as you. And gone forever is the sense of self that felt it was separate from God or separate from other people. It's gone. It never was, ever. It only seemed to be, as perhaps we chose to experience duality. Perhaps that's the purpose. But it's important to take your life as it is now, also when you look at getting involved with things. you have to take into consideration when you're still identifying with your human personality, which cycle in life you're in, your age, your state of health, your whether you're a child, a youth, a young adult, middle age, a senior, what's your occupation, your training, your background, your abilities, what are your talents, what are your areas of expertise and experience. You see, your divinely orchestrated life path has already led you in certain directions. Were they finalizing completions in which you moved through and moved on to something else? Were they a profession that you've had now for some time? What is the training and the abilities that you have that you are contributing right now in your life? What are your latent and you know, talents and abilities that you have? And what's your expertise and experience? These are things you need to consider, because everything that you commit to, other than self-realization, it's going to take time, energy, focus, commitment, and occupy you in a way that takes you from other areas of focus. And you have to ask yourself, is this worth it, given what I've incarnated to do? Is it worth my time to do whatever? You have to decide what that whatever is. And you have to decide what's truly worth your time. We all have 24 hours and 7 days a week. And we all have a marked, before we're born, expiration date when we will transition from this world. Whether it's a day or over 100 years of age, we go when it is our time to go. And since most of us don't know when that time is, we have to really make sure that we focalize on what we feel we're here to do first and foremost. Now, if you are self-realized to where you are living in soul awareness or monadic awareness, which would be soul awareness or identifying with the spirit, the I am presence, to where that is your functional reality, you live from that state all the time. You're in that higher yogic state all the time. If you're there, then you need do nothing, because your very consciousness and your presence on the planet does everything, like Babaji in the Himalayas. Then you can sit in a room like Sri Aurobindo for 40 years and minister to the cosmos. Or Sai Baba living in that little room on the top of the old mandir where he was living when I came to him in 1972 for the first time. I used to wonder, how could he live in that tiny little room and he never sleeps? He says he lies awake at night, turns off the light so it won't disturb, you know, devotees, and looks at his past lifetimes and laughs and laughs. But when asked if he slept, he said, if I sleep, the whole universe will sleep. He's in that tiny little room, a prisoner in that tiny little room, and he goes out and he walks around and gives darshan twice a day, takes letters and petitions from people, walks back and he's in his little room. But now, I've lived sort of like that myself for the last almost 11 years in silence and solitude for the most part. And I feel like I'm everywhere. Certainly not limited to my little ashram room. And now I know Sai Baba was everywhere. I mean, you know, he said he was, but I guess until you have an experience yourself of that, you don't really understand how a person can be confined in a tiny little place physically and experience the self as being omnipresent everywhere and have such a full life. So what I'm saying is that when you get to that place, doing is finished. The outer doing, the outer trying to fix and shift furniture in the outer prison house we call the world, that's finished. So many people, when they become older, their senior years, older light workers that have already attained a certain degree of awareness and enlightenment, those last years should be spent as much as possible in silence and solitude, so that you can complete inwardly and in your consciousness anything and everything that could possibly pull you back into another incarnation, which would be anything that you have a desire that could only be fulfilled in a physical body. So if you still have some of those things, you can mentally and spiritually experience them and pronounce them finished, unless you want to come back here again. You know, you're free to do that. There's no problem. And when you become enlightened, you can also, or shall we say, when you awaken and recognize your already enlightened state, because it's not a becoming, it's a recognition, when you do that, you have the option to come back here and serve or not, or to go someplace else and serve, or just hang out in the bliss of God for a while. But sooner or later, you're going to go forth and create, because that's the nature of the God that you are, is creativity and expansion. So I'm just saying that the more you become one with that spirit, the very less that it matters how much involvement you have in the world. Because those things that you outgrow, if you don't mess with yourself and force yourself to do things that are against your spirit, you'll find that the things that you've outgrown just fall away naturally. You don't have to force it. Your attachment, if you keep looking, practicing self-awareness and really examining the things that you're so attached to, your very scrutiny will begin to dissolve the attachment. Anything that you look at from the light of your true self, you will dissolve the attachment and the limitation involving that. Very simple. All you have to do is really look at what's going on with you. Trace where you feel frustrated. Trace it to the root. What are you trying to make happen that's not happening? And why? Trace every unhappy thought to its source. And you'll see that you're trying to make something happen that's not happening. And you feel unhappy because it's not the way you want it to be. Once you see that and the futility of it, it dissolves and you don't have to pay it any more attention. It's gone. So unless you reconstruct it by remembering it and re-owning it, it'll stay gone. So again, that's the discipline and the responsibility to keep placing your attention where you want to vivify, where you want to manifest, where you want to place emphasis in your life. That's where you place your focus. And when you're looking through the eyes of the inner self that is the witness to all of this charade, that witnessing self dissolves all of the illusion simply because you simply stay present with that which is. So know the power of your focus. Know the power of self-inquiry. Know the power of self-honesty. Know the power of being loyal to that alone. And recognize that you've always been free. It's only been a choice of what you wanted to make more real. The demands of this passing parade we call the third dimensional earth, or the eternality of your own blissful, unfettered being. And you have every right to decide when and how that will take place, because you will learn ultimately, we will all learn, that there's been only the self that you are all along that has manifested and dreamt all of this. And you have the ability to awaken as a lucid dreamer and create another dream and another dream and another dream until you're tired of dreaming and you simply awaken. And then, like Sai Baba, you can laugh and laugh and laugh at you. Look at the serial dreams that we've called past lifetimes. The serial dreams that we've dreamt of being a this or a that. Until we fully awaken as immortal love. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Look at the things that you make a commitment to. If you make a commitment, be sure you fulfill it or renegotiate, because we're held to the things that we've made a commitment to until we decide and communicate otherwise. So live free and keep yourself free. So let's go out chanting on IHU, and as we do that, we send it as a benediction and a blessing to every single being in all the endless worlds of existence with our loving goodwill and blessings. Deep breath. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.